This is Greg Tingle reporting for Media Man Australia. We're speaking to Dr. Lisa Milner, the writer, filmmaker and activist. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you, Greg.
So, Lisa, we've become aware of your latest film, which discusses the history of the WWF, the Waterside Workers Federation, on the waterfront of Australia. But how did you actually get involved in filmmaker? What's your actual background, Lisa?
I come from a background of community and activist filmmaking, and also through teaching filmmaking to other people. I got involved in the history of this film unit about 10 years ago when I was looking at some old footage of the 1950s. I was looking at newsreel footage of a miners' strike, and also some recreated scenes that appeared in some miniseries in the 70s. I had a look at what was there and realised that what was masquerading as newsreel film wasn't actually newsreel film. It was film that had been made by the Waterside Workers Federation Film Unit.
Right.
Because of my background as a filmmaker and an activist, I was very interested in the work of this film unit, and I was particularly interested in the fact that very little of its history appeared in Australian cinema history. So that's what inspired me to research their work, find their films, and publish the book.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of films out there and documentaries, and sometimes it takes a bit of investigation to work out what films and what documentaries reflect the truth and what is known as propaganda as well.
That's correct. And one of the very important parts of this film unit's work was the fact that they were very interested in portraying the truth from the workers' side of the story. They saw in the 1950s in Australia a lot of propaganda from the government and from commercial newsreels about unionists and about left-wing wharfies in particular. They were making these films primarily to show the workers' side of the story, and they actually used a motto in some of their publicity, which is, "We film the facts."
Right.
I thought that was a very interesting phrase to touch on and to emphasise in their work, and I believe that their work does show the workers' side of the story very clearly and very truthfully.
Yes, excellent. Did you meet with much opposition on, let's say, the other side, of the opposition of the wharfies and the like?
When I was doing the research, all the people who I interviewed for it, whether they be ex-unionists, activists, filmmakers or artists who had worked in that period, were more than generous with their time and also with their compliments for the work of the unit. The unit did work, however, in the 1950s, and we have to remember that back then it was a particularly hard time for left-wing activists to work in any profession.
Yes.
So back then they had a lot of antagonism, but I encountered none in my research.
Yes. Is it just pure coincidence that recently there's been a couple of films and documentaries on Australian commercial TV and our national broadcaster with some of the wharfies side of the story over in the United States with Woody Allen and others have covered the Waterside over the years, haven't they?
Yes, well, the Waterside has traditionally been a place of activism and action all around the world. We have, in Australia here, we have particular links with the American waterside workers industry because it was an Australian who started up the first wharfies union in America in San Francisco, which through the Longshoremen's Union. And I believe that there's a recurring interest in the very strong activism that's always been a part of the waterfront industries, whether it's here, America, Europe, or in other countries.
Yes, to ask an obvious question, but it'll be excellent for our listeners to hear it straight from you. Why do you think the waterside of not only Sydney, but around the world has proved to be such a haven for corruption and criminals and, as they say, things falling off the backs of trucks?
There is certainly that side of the industry, but I think some of that stems from the fact that this is always a very physically grueling and arduous industry. And from the very start, for instance, in Australia, even the selection of work before the union stepped in and made it fairer was inherently unfair. There's been a lot in the waterside workers' history that they've had to fight against. This has made unionists in that area very strong, but as history has shown, there's also been room for other sides of the story as well.
Yes.
And I'm pleased that my book and also the film showed both sides of those stories.
Yes, absolutely. What positive differences do you believe you've made to the industry in whole, or perhaps communication channels maybe opening up? What differences have you noticed since the book's actually been put into a movie with the way things may be operating, or at least the perception of the industry?
Well, I think that books like mine, of the history of the film unit, show that there's always hidden histories. There's always space for exploring other sides of the story, and that there's particularly a place to show workers' side of the story, unionists, and ordinary people's side of the story. And I think that's an encouraging sign. It also is a very good sign for people who want to try and take a little bit of power into their own hands and try and change their own lives and the lives of people around them, to look back on work that the film unit did and see that they were able to achieve these things.
Yes.